This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
You're used to hearing Scoop in the morning, afternoon, and evening, but now you got me today. This is Walter. How are you guys doing this week? We have a few things that we want to go over today, and I got a very special guest coming on in a few minutes. First, I want to bring to light the officers that have lost their lives and given their lives to the job this past week and a half. One in particular, an officer from the New York City Police Department, the seventh suicide by an NYPD officer this year alone, and the fourth in 2 months. Our thoughts and prayers go out to that fella and his family. We did a show a few weeks ago about the other suicides, and we brought up information about having, you know, help in the suicide hotline and help with the psych services at NYPD and how much they've failed the officers over the years. And including myself, I never got to that point with my issues with the law, but when I did go to psych services for, well, their recommendation by the surgeon to seek services about my divorce proceedings, and they couldn't help me. So I just figured, you know, to hell with it. And I went back to work and got divorced anyway, and then arrested. However, I have a special guest this morning. And his name is Mike Dowd. You might remember this fellow from my past. He's a great friend of mine, good friend of mine. This is a man who's got a heart of gold that a lot of people don't know. I've discussed things that when I had my troubles back in the 80s, this son of a gun took me in when my siblings turned their backs on me. And I say that proudly that he took me in. And he's a good friend. And I want to introduce, this is Mike Dowd. Hello, Mike. How are you doing today, my friend?
Hey, well, thanks for having me on your show. First of all, I want to thank you for that. And second of all, I want to thank you for opening your home to me, something that you espoused that I did too many years ago. And here you are returning the favor as I basically travel throughout the United States and making appearances where I go. Yeah, thanks for having me. And thanks for having me on your show. I hear you guys are doing really well. You got a couple hundred followers on, and you're building every day.
Yeah, well, we got a few, about 50 followers yesterday. If people look at my website there on Facebook, you'll understand why. We won't mention why. Go ahead and look it up and join. It's the 7-5/7-5 Radio Updates. Or on Facebook, you can catch me at Walter Yerkew. Most of you know I don't have a Twitter account anymore. I'm doing Twitter life in jail because of a few things that somebody determined that was a threat that I said, and my co-host said. And speaking of my co-host, he's taking care of a sick wife this morning. She has bronchitis or pneumonia or something, and he's got to take care of her. And don't forget, he's got those two kids that he's got to take a Chuck E. Cheese for lunch today. I hope he has enough liquor to get through the day. So shout out to Scoop and hope his wife feels better. What we want to talk about today is the lack of reaction from the upper echelon of the NYPD and the mayor's office. And my friend Mike is very astute in these things. He follows it quite a bit on social media and on the news. So I'm going to ask my friend his opinion on what he feels about how the upper echelon are handling these unfortunate suicides in NYPD and what they can do about it. Mike?
Yeah, well, interesting topic. And you talked about several of the recent suicides that have been made public. And I think you said the number was seven. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's it.
I actually have been working with people that are developing, let's call it, the programs that could be implemented in many different forms of your law enforcement or military. In fact, I've done quite a few podcasts on holistic healing and alternative methods used to deal with people that are going through, let's call it PTSD. What many people don't understand is that being a first responder, you deal with and you're subject to PTSD, much like people that are in war in the military. And so I've been dealing with a lot of those issues, and I get a lot of reach out to me. I'll give you a quick scenario. About 6 weeks ago now, an individual contacted me after seeing that documentary that you and I starred in, Walter 75. And I get it quite often. I reached out to me, and I didn't know his underlying reasons for reaching out to me. And he just wanted to say hi and wanted to say, hey, he admired the fact, not for what I did, but for what I did and how I came through with a lot at the end and have a productive life in front of me. So to get to the point, I've been wintering in Clearwater, Florida. I have a condo down there, and my girl and I go spend a lot of time down there, and we got invited out to dinner by this individual. And, of course, I show up. I mean, who doesn't like a free meal, right? But after showing up and sitting down with the guy, he confessed to me and in front of my girl that he was going to kill himself. And he had got jammed up in this small apartment down there in Florida. In fact, he was a New York guy from Brooklyn. Who took a job down there, had transplanted his family down there 25 years ago, took a job, got jammed up in the police department, a small apartment like Cocoa Beach or something, and he ended up, was going to eat the gun. And his son walked in on him in the middle of writing his note. He put the note away, saw the documentary, The 75, that night, contacted me, let's say it saved his life, okay? And I'm not taking credit for that. What I'm saying is it comes to me quite often.
Well, you know, along those lines, you know, the documentary has had a lot of feedback and a lot of positive feedback to begin with about it being called the cop version of Goodfellas and the gangster aspect of the entire documentary, and it was not to show the world that, hey, listen, you know, we're bad guys then, we're good guys now. Well, we were good guys back then, and we're still good guys. We just did some bad things. And, you know, depending on how you people think the severity of what we did, that's entirely up to you, and we all accept that. However, what Michael just touched up upon is that Michael did over 11 years in federal prison. 12 and a half years my friend did in prison. And I did 6. I believe Adam did 8. He wasn't on the job, but there were some other cops that were wrapped up in the system during that time back in May of 1992 that did 3 years and 4 years and 6 years, you know, guys that weren't involved in the documentary. However, we're coming up on our first break, and we're going to continue on this line of how the 75 documentary has touched and affected people that were on the job, no matter what job you were on. We'll be back after these messages.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, he doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we had named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
Anyway, welcome back after the break. We're here with my friend Michael Dowd. We're talking about how the effects of the 7-5 documentary had some input on some people's lives. Now, the documentary shows that we were bad guys and we were gangsters and we did these bad things. We're good guys. We're family. We made a lot of mistakes. And like I said, it's up to you people to decide how bad those mistakes were. Michael was touching on that fella contacted him after he saw the 7-5 documentary, who was about to eat his gun, as we put it, as members of the MOS. And the issue with that I'm bringing up with the 7-5 documentary is that when cops see that today, or the past 5 years since it's been out, they see that it's another aspect of looking at us as bad guys. Hell, we survived. Never once did my thoughts continue. And, well, I never decided that I was going to eat my gun. That was never a, that was. Okay, call Michael back, please. The other thing is that we have an insight that cops see this and we survived. 30 years after the fact, we're still going. And a lot of them understand now that there's, light at the end of the tunnel. You know, the first part of your life might be a train. But you got to sidestep that train. And that's a hard thing to do, sidestepping that train. And we get it. But what we're thankful for is that at least 1, 10, 15, 20 cops over the airwaves have seen the documentary and have not eaten their gun. So Michael has been in touch with these people, and he's coming up with programs. So I'm going to let Michael continue to talk.
And please, people out there, listen to him. Mike?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, as we touched on before, quite often people reach out to me in the song that there's a hand come through it. You know, what was the experience like? And they're looking for people to identify with who have faced, you know, what seems to be the final moment of their life, a defining moment, if nothing else. Where are they going to go from here? Quite often, they're lost. They don't know who to reach out to. And it's become a point where they reach out to a guy who's been through. I mean, it's like going to rehab, right? When people go to an AA program or a rehabilitation program, the best teacher in that program for them to identify with is someone that was a stone cold alcoholic or a crackhead or a drug addict or a heroin addict. They need to identify with somebody who's gone from one position, the pitfalls of their despair, to see how they came out of it. Because for most cops, it's not just being a cop, it's not just being a police officer as a job. It's their life. It defines them as a person. And when they lose that job, they now lose, the association of, three quarters of a million people that were their brother or sister yesterday, and now they feel like the most alone person in the world. No matter how much love they get at home, how much support they get from family members, they just devoid themselves of this love that they had inherent that came with, being a sworn member of a police force. So it's quite a different scenario. Much like the military, where guys go out and serve, in armed forces and then come home to their wife and family, but they just can't identify with that emotional connection, to the men in the foxhole type of mentality. And so having that experience, you become a beacon to people, and it's in a natural attraction. I mean, Walt, you've had some people approach you about how you made it from one side to the other. How do you feel on, how do you chime in on this?
Well, I always had the will to survive. And, survival is an instinct that, you have or you don't have. But if you don't have the instinct to survive, you need to talk to somebody. When people ask me, how did I make it through all that tough time? And, Michael can speak the same thing. I put my family through hell. And I understand that. And there's no way in the world I'd ever make it up to my family. Friends also. People that knew me since I was a kid. But the transition was not to give up. You take it on the chin, you get into a fight, you take it on the chin, and you give it the best shot you can to make the best out of a bad situation. It doesn't have to be great, but you make the best out of a bad situation or a better situation for yourself. When I got out of jail, I had $40 in my pocket and moved in with, an old lady friend. And
I remember that time, Walker. I ran into you in the 9-4 precinct I was working in. I handed you a couple hundred bucks, didn't I?
Yep, and got me a job.
And got you a job, didn't I?
And then, 6 months later, 5 months later, I was back in the joint. So, I had a double whammy. But never did never did it cross my mind to eat a gun. And end it. I had to make, it wasn't as bad as everybody saw or everybody was saying I was or Michael was or anybody else that was involved in 92. And, I had to prove it to them. I had to prove it to them. Here I am. Ain't nobody listening to a word I say because they don't believe me. But I had to prove it to them. And in the long run, I did. I did a little more time. But, 99 out of 100 people said, you shouldn't have gone to jail that time. You didn't do anything. You didn't have anything to do with Michael, Michael's issues or that other guy down there. And, I just got sucked into the vacuum again. And I stuck it through. And I did another 3.5 years. And started all over again. So, I raised a family. I have a son. He's in school now. He's working. I have houses. I have cars. And you don't accumulate it overnight. You have to apply yourself again, reapply yourself, use the knowledge that you have and do it again if you have to.
Now, you know, we're just speaking on terms of being in trouble and going to prison. I don't have a clue on what went through these guys' heads or why they decided to eat their guns. But whatever it was, wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it.
So a little input on people that commit suicide. You know, when I was in prison, I saved a guy's life. He hung himself in front of my cell. Although we didn't know he actually hung himself, I thought he got beat up and thrown over a railing. And so being an active guy in prison, trying to, you know, make a better way for my future and then, you know, change my thinking process and everything, I went in there. I became involved in the suicide program. I became a mentor in the drug and alcohol program while in prison. You know, rather than sit back in the cot and sneak my way through prison, I became active in the prison. Of course, a lot of people hated me for it because I still was considered the cop. Anyway, while there, I ended up taking a guy off a noose around his neck in front of my cell. And then we ended up, I ended up giving CPR on the floor. Of course, the COs started yelling, get away from him, get away from him. I'm saying, you know, what are you kidding me? I'm saving this guy's life, you know, whatever. I don't want to use the curse words right now because I actually feel like saying. But the bottom line is I ended up watching him the following day. So he's telling me the story. He doesn't know that I saved him. Me and not just myself and others, saved him from the hanging of himself. And he's telling us that on the way down,
Mike, we're going to take a short break right now, and we're going to get right back to this. This is a great story that you're telling us about saving a man's life. So we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At night, two of the latest Democratic debates held in Detroit.
He went right around the question. Mr. Vice President, you want to be President of the United States. You need to be able to answer the tough questions. I guarantee you, if you're debating Donald Trump, he's not going to let you off the hook.
That's New York Mayor Bill de Blasio talking to former VP Joe Biden as Biden was repeatedly targeted by many of the others on the stage. Here, he responds to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand after she challenged his record on women's rights.
I came up with the It's On Us proposal to see to it that women were treated more decently on college campuses. You came to Syracuse University with me and said it was wonderful. I'm passionate about the concern making sure women are treated equally. I don't know what's happened except that you're now running for president.
So I understand. Mr. Vice President.
The on-again, off-again Woodstock 50 Music Festival has now officially been canceled. And this is USA Radio News.
Today, Vance Auto Park at your local Intelligas truck. Find Shell Road Oil. SUV, your truck and SUV. Just for Intelligas trucks is Shell Road. This cupcake's oil. Corner store for on cruising to the cot. Top down. This is not oil. The country, halfway across the tailgate party. World's greatest. This is hauling the oil. Snow and mud. Mountains in the rain. This is climbing mountain oil. Way off the grid. Ocean camping. This is hunting fish oil. This is truck. Look. This Intelligas truck is Shell Road. This.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
A tiny Kentucky town about 2 hours southeast of Louisville rocked early today by a natural gas pipeline explosion. Here's the governor, Matt Bevin.
We had one person killed, five people injured. The fire's out. It's under control.
A video of Democratic Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland describing Baltimore as drug-infested has resurfaced. President Trump retweeting a video of Cummings from a House hearing on the narcotics threat from Colombia back in August of 1999, showing Cummings saying that kids were, quote, walking around like zombies due to the impact of illegal drugs in Baltimore. Trump tweets the video after he was accused of making a racist attack on Baltimore for calling it a disgusting rodent-infested mess. First-time claims for jobless benefits up last week, according to the Labor Department, a little bit more than analysts predicted. This is USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
Today. This is Walter, and I have my special guest and friend, Mike Dowd, and he was just talking about an incident that he took care of in while he was in federal custody. Michael, go ahead. Continue, please.
Yeah, so I think we left off where the guy was hung in my cell, in front of my cell. We rescued the guy, myself, and a few other inmates, and then I was assigned to Suicide Watch. Suicide Watch is a program that you're trained while in prison on how to deal with people in an emotional state, how to recognize potential suicide individuals. Like when someone starts giving away their commissary and they're not going home, you know, that might be an indication that they're not looking to be around much longer. They're pretty simple signs, but sometimes people don't recognize them. Anyway, I was on Suicide Watch, and this guy's name, let's call him Joe. And Joe comes to the slot in the window of a cell. And inside the cell was a cement bed. So it was a bed made of cement and a paper sheet was covering him. And that's what he was wearing, basically covering himself in a paper sheet. I think he had a pair of underwear on, and that's it. So what they did was they brought the guy down to a debased situation. He looks at me through the slot. He's telling me the attempt on his own life, what he made. Well, he doesn't know I saved it, that was involved in saving his life. And I'm listening to him, and he said, and this is very important for everybody. This is the most important thing that I learned, is that he changed his mind on the way down. Now, it gives me pause when I hear. So he changed his mind. Here's a guy who was so distraught that his 28-year-old girlfriend that he met about 6 months ago was going to leave him. He was in his 50s, so you can imagine how happy he was to have a 28-year-old girlfriend. And she was leaving him because he had to spend another 8 to 10 years in prison. So he's going to kill himself just to spite everybody. Who the heck, he would leave me? But the reality was he changed his mind. And then through my years of being in and out of let's just call it self-help groups, I've heard many of the same stories where guys try to blow their own brains out, and sometimes they ducked and missed. Sometimes they didn't duck quick enough. This guy that actually pulled the trigger on themselves. So I've heard numerous instances, and many of the people that have survived suicide attempts can attest to this, that they really don't want to kill themselves after they survive on the other end. They go, no, I didn't want to. I wanted someone to stop me, step in, somebody to care, somebody to intervene. That, from what I've found, is what most people, that's generally the process for most people. And I don't know about yourself, Wolf, but you dealt with suicides in the street in the police department. I don't know if you've been hands-on in these suicide situations. But so what I take from that is that that intervention to stop these things. Before testifying before the Mullen Commission, which I did in 1993, I told the Mullen Commission, you're going to have an uptick in suicides in the New York City Police Department due to my testimony. And they could give a damn. They were like, we don't really care. And they used foul language in it, and I don't want to use that on the air here. So who cares about a cop that's corrupt? And I said, well, what about their family? And the answer was, who cares about their family? This is the type of response I got from people running a commission on police corruption. So I don't know, Walt. I'll throw that back at you.
Well, and I brought this up with my co-host a few weeks ago, the police department has this psych services for anybody who wants to seek it out on the police department, whether it's suicide, divorce, whatever the case may be, any type of emotional problem you may be having, you're supposed to be able to go to these psych services. And it's supposed to be confidential. Well, I had news for people a few weeks ago, and I'm going to say it out loud again. Hell, it's not confidential. The minute you get out of psych services, somebody's going to see you. And by the night shift, when you get on tour on a 4 to 12 and you're at psych services at 10 a.m., everybody knows. Then you're labeled as a psycho.
So you stop going to psych services and stop seeking help. All right. Now, you know, cops are cruel. Cops could be cruel, especially, well, I could speak from when I was on the job, and Michael too. Cops are cruel back then. And, you know, if you were having divorce problems and you were, you know, nobody wanted to work with you because your head wasn't clear. And when nobody wants to work with you, you feel alienated. And what happens when you get alienated, you know, the suicide prevention classes that I've taken and been through is, you know, you just want to do it. I got to get out of this. How do I get out of this? How do I stay safe? And, you know, unfortunately, people do pull the trigger. The suicide prevention that we do in the police academy, Jesus, you know, I can remember 35 years ago going through all that stuff. And we don't so much in the street prevent the suicide. It's the aftermath, whether a suicide survives the attempted suicide or it's too late. So, you know, the empathy that we have to portray when we're at somebody's house during either one of these two events, you know, is very traumatic on a family, both regards. And, you know, the social skills that are taught to us in our natural social skills help us through. So with Michael's incident with this fella in jail, I mean, you know, Michael's in jail. You know, he's a convicted felon. He could have just let the guy freaking hang there. So it just goes to show you that there are people out there who care and it will help you.
On another note, remember, I don't know if you were there at the time of the 7-5 when Chickie's partner ended up going to the farm. I don't know if you were there for that. But Chickie's partner ended up... And he actually became a captain on the job. Chickie's partner Chickie was going to leave the job because of all the investigations that picked up in the 7-7, and then we were under investigation in the 7-5, and Chickie wanted no part of that. But as a result of that, Chickie was leaving the job, and he actually turned his partner in to psych services because he felt that the guy was killing himself. And the reality is he did a service to both the job, to Mark. His nickname was Frank Loud. I guess that's from one of those Hills Creek Blues movies or shows or something. But he ended up saving this guy's life. And he went on to become a patrol in the 7-5, which, you know, that can be, you know, the end of your career. Or it can catapult you because you'd be one of the most experienced police officers in the city if your life was together. Many of the guys in the 7-5 became, now, I don't want to use the word junkies, but, you know, drug abusers, alcoholics like yourself and myself, divorced because of the constant barrage that we saw. You know, having intervention or having ongoing moments of intervention, you know, in this situation, Mark went to what they call a farm, and he turned out to be, a successful, thriving, I think I could be wrong. He may even still be on the police department as we speak and having a successful career. So I don't want to put his name out there and disparage him in any way. But, you know, he was down with the boys for a minute. But today he's a successful, thriving police officer who I'm certain if he's still on the job, he's sober.
You know, it's just a sad thing that these seven officers took their lives this year. I wouldn't know what to say to these families. I mean, it's just such a sad tragedy. I want to put up the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Now, this goes 24/7, 365. If you're having trouble on Christmas Day, dude, call them. Or, ma'am, call them. Don't pull that trigger. Don't put that noose around your neck. Don't end it. Because, like Michael said, halfway through it or three-quarters of the way through it, you're changing your mind. And if you miss, God bless you. But if you don't miss, you know, God's going to bless you. He's going to have to, because he's the only one who's going to be able to take care of you beyond that. I want to thank Michael for coming on. This is, you know, we didn't even touch on anything with O'Neill's office or the Blasio's office. You know, they call this inappropriate, and this has got to stop. Well, I'd like to know what the hell they're doing to stop this horrible situation that is just taking over the NYPD. You know, I can imagine if it was in my day, in Michael's day, we'd be looking at other cops like, okay, who's next? You know, what's going on in this guy's life? And then going out and taking care of whatever you got to take care of, doing community patrol. And there's really no time to grieve.
for these guys.
So the question that I have, and maybe put this maybe the way to spin this conversation, is you got these young officers getting pelted with water in the NYPD, all over the news, quite the embarrassing situation. I mean, think of how these young officers are now scarred. They were all over the news, being water poured on them in full uniform and walking away from what is apparently and clearly an assault on a police officer. And these cops are walking away with their tail between their legs. You know, in my day and age, I know from, between you and I, that I mean, first of all, it wouldn't happen because we'd have the respect from the beginning. And second of all, if it did happen, let's just make believe, there would be some consequences to pay right off the bat. What's your take on that?
You know, an assault is an assault, whether they spit on you or throw water on you. You know, taking out your nightstick and knocking somebody's teeth out, whether it was on social media or not, was acceptable and should be acceptable because it's an assault. They got to retaliate some way. Well, we're going to head into our last break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. 7-5 Radio with Michael Dowd.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walt and Scoop.
We're back for our final segment. We've been working on and talking with my friend Michael Dowd about the suicides in New York City and the suicides among members of the service all over that they need help. So Michael is on for a couple of more minutes.
I want to thank him. He's visiting me at my house at the Southern Middle Tennessee Studios. We have a great setup here. You know, we have one microphone and two phones. But one of these days we'll get a little bit bigger with our fan base's help. Anyway, Michael, any final words?
Well, first of all, thanks for your hospitality at this cabin in the woods with the jacuzzi in the yard. I hope I didn't offend anybody. That's one. And two, you know, just on a side note, as we headed off there at the break about the PD and the water tossing incidents, you know, maybe it's a full segment we got to do on that at some point, but it's really not a good way to get suited up to be a police officer and have to face that. I know in our day it would turn out quite different if it ever happened at all. I mean, you know, we used to have attitude adjustment time back then. I mean, and I'm not talking random. I'm talking about something like this would be instantly met with something. I know for me personally, I've had similar situations arise. No one threw water at me, but it was met with the equal amount of force necessary and everybody carried on, let's say, afterward, and whatever the action was soon not to ever happen again. And I'll leave you with that, and thanks for having me on, and all those that need help, reach out to the suicide hotline, and or contact Walter, myself, or anybody through the various forms of social media. I do a lot of counseling and mentoring to people through difficult situations. I try to take the time out and do it. Sometimes it's overwhelming with the number of people that reach out to me, but I do the best I can. So I'll leave you with that. Well, thanks for having me on.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to have you on. We'll say goodbye to Michael for right now. I just want to swing the mood over to something a little more enlightening. We at 75 Radio are getting involved in dirt track racing down here in the Southeast, something that I've known existed but never really went to. Our not so sexy intern, Mike Guerin, has gotten us into this racing circuit. It's called Topless Outlaws. It's got nothing to do with topless. So, you know, yeah, I know, snappy fingers. But we are involved in it. Now, Saturday night, Friday night, I guess it would be last night by the time this airs on Saturday. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to make believe it's Saturday and say, I'm going to be at I-75 Speedway in Sweetwater, Tennessee tonight with my not-so-sexy intern, Mike Guerin. They give away backpacks since school starts down here on Tuesday, and the school backpacks are being donated. Their goal was, guess what the number was, 75. I guess for the I-75, not so much for 75 Radio, but we jumped in. We have a dozen or so backpacks, school supplies, stickers, cards, all kinds of things that we're going to be giving away with the backpacks. This is our first year doing it. I looked online about some of the backpacks that I-75 people are giving away this weekend, and they've been signed by drivers and stuff like that. You know, sorry, kids, the best thing I could do is have myself sign it. I could get Michael to sign some. I guess Mike Guerin, our not-so-sexy intern, will sign a few. Scoop is dead out of luck because he's about 900 miles away from here. But I'll give him an honorable mention. So we're going to be there Saturday. Gates open at 5 o'clock. We will be walking around. We'll be giving away $50 to the best-looking car before the race starts. Because, like I said, by the time the end of the night comes, the damn thing could roll over. And then I said, well, sorry, you ain't getting $50 now. and a trophy that represents a car door. It's only a little 8x10 trophy made out of metal, and it's got our logo on it. So all you drivers out there that are probably not listening, and hopefully will be listening, we give out our stickers, our logos to put on your car. If you have one of our stickers on your car, our logo on your car, you become eligible to win that $50 for the best-looking car. And let me tell you something. I know cars. I'm a car guy. It doesn't matter how ugly somebody else thinks your car is. It's beautiful. So go ahead and put a sticker on. We'll be putting logos on other cars. We got a guy in Chattanooga who's a racer, and he is going to be putting a 2-foot size, it looks like a Terminator, our logo. It's going to be on his hood. It's 2 feet long, 2 feet high, by 18 inches wide. and he's going to run that, and we're going to be sponsoring him with car parts and things like that so he can finish out the season. So I'll be talking to him on Saturday. We might be doing some live feeds during the show, during the racetrack. So, you know, tune into my Facebook page or the 75 Facebook page, and you can see, you'll see me. Mike will be off camera. Mike Garen will be off camera because he's going to be the one doing the film. With my luck, he'll reverse it and have himself on it, and all you're going to do is hear me. But come out to this raceway in Sweetwater, Tennessee, tonight, Saturday night, August 3rd. Gates open at 5 p.m. It's going to be hot, so bring drink, plenty of water, bring your kids. It's a family-oriented place. The food is okay. And I can't wait to get back in the booth with my friend Brandon. He's going to be in Crossville. He does the Crossville circuit. And he will be, well, he was there last night. If this is Saturday, he was there last night, which is tomorrow. Aren't you glad that I could talk well? You know, I'm in Central Time, and that hour between Eastern Time and Central Time just screws me up. It's only 60 minutes, but sometimes I forget if it's before or after. But my friend Mike Garen is going to be there. Scoop will be there in heart. I'm going to try to drag Michael Dad out there. We'll see what he wants to do on Saturday if he sticks around. If not, I'll get him to sign some backpacks anyway. So I want to do another shout-out to my co-host, Scoop. I hope your wife feels a little better, even though you're taking care of her. I hope she feels a little better anyway. You might want to get her to a doctor or something. I mean, you know, break down and pay the copay. Break down, pay the copay, and get her to a real doctor. And don't give her placebos. Give her real medication. Anyway, like I said, we're going to be there Saturday night. And this circuit runs through September. So there'll be other ones. Keep us in mind when you want to go to the track. Mike Garen is always posting this stuff on our Facebook page. Mike Garen is also doing a membership drive for the 75 Facebook page. We're well over 500 members now. We were about 15 under 500 just yesterday. And for reasons that I can't say on the air, just check out our Facebook page. We're up in over 500 members. My friend Michael is a blast to have around, and he'll probably be leaving in 3 or 4 days. And then it'll be another 2 years before he comes back to have a blast around here. I want to thank him for coming and keeping my house company at night while I'm away at work, working so hard over there in Chattanooga. If there's anybody out there who wants to get in touch with the Topless Racing Circuit, the Topless Outlaws Racing Circuit, contact us here at 75 Radio. I'll put you right in touch with Mike, another Mike. I got nothing but Mikes around here. And he runs the Topless Circuit right here. he will give you the information. Mike Grubenick, I think is his name. He has a handle on all these races. He's the one that makes the rules. He's the one that judges. And he's the one that, if there's a photo finish, he's the one that judges. Again, out to Brandon. He's a good, excellent talker. He's an excellent. I mean, you know, I've heard people in the South, they talk slow. Let me tell you something. This guy's a Southerner, and he talks fast. I can't hardly keep up with him. You know, he says things like, it's on like Donkey Kong and ping pong. And I don't know what the hell that means, but it sounded pretty damn good. So bring everybody out Saturday night, later on tonight, and it's open at 5 o'clock. We got 1 minute left, and I just want to bring back up, again, the suicide prevention number is 1-800. Yeah, I lost it. Where are you? Yeah, we'll just do it again. The suicide prevention number runs 24/7, 365. And please call it if you have any kind of trouble, any trouble whatsoever. And it's not coming up. I'm out. We have, here we go. Well, reach out to anybody. Call your mom, call your dad, call your wife. Even if you fight with your wife, call her. Call your kids. Somebody, to come and talk to you and spend time with you and help you out. We don't have a lot of information, like I said, on these NYPD officers. Why? No text gone. Come on over and hang out for a while and just do what you got to and talk to people. Well, I've rambled on long enough, and this is Walter from 75 Radio signing off. Everybody have a good week and hope to see you at the races later.
James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.